As many of you will be aware that we've been following a series of walking in his footsteps, and that's really based on a discipleship place to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So before we go into the message, let me pray with you and ask for God's intervention and his wisdom. Lord, as we come together this morning in this place to celebrate, to come and recognize that you are Lord, that you are our God, that you are our Savior, we bring our hearts before you this morning. We also recognize that we've made mistakes this week and in the weeks that have just passed, and Lord, we bring our hearts before you and we say we're sorry. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness. Forgiveness that will restore us to a place where we can engage with you and feel free to pray and talk with you. For us in our discipleship place, we want to, in our heart's desire, to walk behind you and to be like you and understand you better, but we get distractions, things hit us in all different ways. So we ask, Lord, that this morning we can keep focused on what you want to speak to us about, that we can get an understanding of your greatness and your glory, but we can get an understanding of how you want to lead us and guide us in our personal walk with you. Lord, some of us here are struggling with issues, some with anxiety and fear, depression. I ask, Lord, that you can come alongside them and restore their hearts and bring a renewed joy for them. Some, Lord, are struggling with physical pain. They've got issues in with their body. They've got pains in their joints and headaches, and those who are suffering with illnesses, and even to a point where it gets to a place of despair. Lord, I pray for your incredible healing that can come over them. And Lord, some here really don't know you yet and are knocking on your door. I pray, Lord, that you can open the door for them to meet you in a new and refreshed way. Some have scars in their past, scars in their life, scars that are really painful, and I ask, Lord, that you can bring a healing over them as well. Lord, we pray that this place, this church, us gathering, may be a lighthouse for this community. A lighthouse that shines your light around, so that those who are struggling and those who are having shipwrecks in their family or in their life or in their work, Lord, that this lighthouse can show a way that they can be safe. We pray, Lord, that we can be something different, to be a counterculture to the culture of destruction, to be a counterculture to bring life and hope and meaning to people in their lives. And Lord, we know your word can do it. So Lord, speak through me today, speak through us, through worship, and may our hearts be restored and understand what you're doing in each of our lives. And we pray for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So as part of the series, Walking in His Footsteps, I don't know what just happened. We just jumped. Too many. There we go. In his footsteps. Now, how big are his footsteps to stand into? To walk in Jesus' footsteps are big footsteps to step into. And today I want to talk about losing ground. Some of you may say, well, that's a negative message, you know. Being a disciple of Jesus means it's all going straight ahead and everything's wonderful. And for so many places I've heard these messages, you know, come to Jesus and you're going to be blessed and everything's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to say, yes, you're going to be blessed. And I'm going to say it is wonderful, but it might not look the way that you think it's going to look. I heard someone say the other day, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I'll illustrate that with this picture. Your plan from A to the end to B, whatever, straight. That's my plan. That's where I'm going. God's plan might be a little bit different as you travel on your journey. Who can agree with that illustration? And so many would say, if you're looking at strategies, you would say, we need to go from the beginning, aim, and that's where we're going. Strategy says we start, we finish, no distractions. But life doesn't work like that, does it? Life changes, rearranges. How many of you have been thinking, this is going to be my career and this is where I'm going? And you've ended up in a totally different job. Yeah? You know that one? Okay. Or what about, and I'm asking for a bit of vulnerability here, and you're welcome to put your hand up or not. How many thought they were going to marry someone and they had the plans to marry them and then the relationship all fell apart? Yeah, great. Some fun, you know, you think you're going this way, it's all going to work that way. How many of you, when you were children, thought, this is the job I'm going to be? How many firemen that were going to, you know? How many policemen? You got there. Policemen got there. All right. Doctors. How many thought they were going to be a doctor and never got there? Yeah, that's all right. It's good. But we have these dreams and we're going to go this way and you aim for it. And then life throws curlies at you. So that's what I want to talk about today. We think we can control things, but it doesn't always work that way. JB, can I invite you to come up for a moment? You happy to share one or two things about your journey that was one way and another? You can also share a little bit of, you know, where you've been and what it's about.
Most people who know me would probably say fairly driven. I'm all about the A to B, very project management mindset. I really enjoy that space. I set my goal and I go for it, you know. And for me, that flag at the end increases in size, especially if somebody says, you can't do that. So, you know, big guys can't run. I'll run an ultra marathon. Did that, tick, you know. Big guys aren't fit, all right, I'll take up martial arts and get fit and, you know, compete. I'll compete locally. Oh, yeah, but that's as far as you'll ever get. I just came back from the World Championships in Vegas. You know, streamed live over the internet. So I'm all about the A to B. When I first, I guess, found God, or God found me, I had such a strong sense that, you know what, I'm going to end up in a ministry. I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up in youth ministry. I start putting the plan together. This is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. You know, I met this amazing woman who's now been my wife for over 20 years. We've got a great family. This is definitely the direction that we're going. This is what's happening. And I might add, I thought I was a pretty decent person. You know, not perfect, have my faults, just like all of you guys. But, you know, I do what's right, I say what I feel, and, you know, I'm open to living my life. God had some other things in store for me that I would never put on my own list. So as a young man in my early 20s, my wife and I had our, well, she did all the hard work, we had our third child, Faith Abigail. Faith was born a very sick little girl. Faith only lived till 9 months age, and then I was with Faith alone when she passed away in the hospital. Now, as a young man, I mean, most young blokes will know, we're not particularly blessed when it comes to emotions and feelings and those sorts of things. So it became a bit of a washing machine of emotion and a washing machine of, I guess, disappointment in God. Hang on, God, I'm doing all this stuff. I've got the plan. You gave me the plan. I'm pretty sure it came from you. What the heck? You know what? I'll get back on track. So as a little family, as a broken family, we sold most of our possessions, packed our bags, and moved away to Bible college. Both the best experience of my life and one of the worst experiences of my life. I say it's the best because I met a very special couple sitting over there in the corner who would go on to play a pretty significant role in my life. However, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person I know that's been expelled from Bible college. So, you know, spade's a spade. Is what it is. I own it. It's all good. It is what it is. As a result of that experience, you know what, God? I'm done with this stuff. I'm going to go and have a career in the world. I like A to B. I'm going to be about project management and achieving goals and have a career. That's what I'm going to do. Yep, that's me. 2010, my father was killed in a motorbike accident, and that sunk me again. And so at some point, my A to B, there's like more squiggles down here, and you probably wouldn't appreciate me drawing with a texter, so I won't, but we're down here somewhere now, and I'm a mess. I'm a broken man, not too far off a nervous breakdown. I had heard that word thrown around a few times. And that's it. That was it for me. Short of swearing off anything to do with any churches and ministries and people, that was it. I'd had enough. Now, I got dragged to church one Sunday, as wives tend to do to husbands. And this Sunday in particular was a Mother's Day service, and my wife was actually sharing the message. I actually have no idea what the message was on, to be honest. Something to do with Mother's Day, probably. But at the end of it, I tuned her out. We all do that too, right? No, just me then. Okay. At the end of it, she said to me, you know what? If nothing else, God is good and Jesus loves me. And for me, those little words in the middle of my messed up plan and grief and pain and anger and despair lit the path for me, and I started to find my way back up. But here's the thing. It looked nothing like the path that I had planned or even was remotely interested in. I can tell you that standing up here talking to you guys right now is not even remotely on my list of things that I had planned to do. You know, the men's breakfast yesterday, although I'm all about the meat and it was excellent, I have to say. Standing up in front of that group and talking wasn't on my planned list of things to do. And for me, you know, that whole concept of losing ground that Ben's talking about, I liken it to quicksand. Is that I've got my plan, I'm going for A to B, and then it becomes a trudge, and then it becomes a struggle, and then I'm waist deep. And then the more I struggle, the more desperate I get, and the more the pressure builds around me. And the only way that I can move forward through that is to stop and be still. God is good. Jesus loves me. Take a breath. And all of a sudden, there's a vine. Okay, well, it's not in the direction that I'm going, but I'll grab that vine. And before you know it, you're standing up in front of a church, in front of a little community, sharing all the funny bits of things that have happened to you.
Thanks, JB. For those of you who haven't met him, that's okay. Because you'll get to know him if you. He's really cuddly and lovable. All right. He's a humble man too, but he's just come back representing Australia in Las Vegas in the ultra heavyweight Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So ultra, not just heavyweights, but the ultra heavyweights. And he went there, and he's good to have around. Especially if there's a road rage incident or something like that. But his wife, Petra, is completely very different. She has a PhD in philosophy in Christian studies. And so Professor Petra Brown is his wife. And somehow she is now next weekend also representing women in the Pan Pacific's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu activities. So don't mess with Dr. Brown. We think we can control things. We do. And we think that we've got things in place and it doesn't always work the way we want it to. And for the disciples, it didn't work the way that they thought it would pan out too. So I'm going to read a scripture here for those of you who've got your Bibles with you or not. It's John 6, moving through. And this is Jesus talking about what's going to happen to him. And this is Jesus talking about really a big part of what's going to take place, that his body is going to be broken and that his blood is going to be poured out. Now he's giving this as a story and an example of what's going to happen to him. And we're going to read about this as Jesus' teaching. And it's really hard because the disciples think they're going one way. And as I spoke about the other week, all of a sudden Jesus says, actually, this is what's going to happen to me. And the disciples are like, no, this can't happen. And his teaching is so strong that people are struggling with it. So when we read this, what do we think? Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. That sounds like cannibalism, doesn't it? Honestly, if you were just to read it and not know the context of it, and if you know the Jewish understanding, well, you weren't allowed to go anywhere near blood. And Jesus is bringing this in to this conversation that is happening with them. And then he says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he'll also live because of me. Feeding on Jesus. What is he talking about? There's more. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue. So he's talking in the church, in the synagogue. He's talking about his body being broken, but more than that, you're going to eat from it. He's talking about his blood and you're going to drink from it. How many are already struggling with this teaching? Yeah. What's he talking about? Okay. Then Jesus said these things in the synagogue. So he's in the church in Capernaum. And when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to this?" But there's more. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" His own disciples, like, are you offended by what I'm saying? Jesus is really stirring it up here. And then, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Jesus is talking about where he came from in the glory of heaven. He said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all, and the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him." So Jesus even saying, you're here and even some betray. And then he says, "And this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted to him by the Father." And then after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. I don't know, sometimes when we read the scripture or we think we have a romantic idea of Jesus and his teaching that whoever heard him said, "Oh, we're following you." And there's many that did. But we're reading now and many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Because this is a hard teaching. In our own journey, we come across the same thing. We think we're going one way. We think it's all going to pan out well. And then something comes and hits us from the side. I don't know if I like Jesus' teaching anymore. I don't know if I can follow this anymore. You can imagine this confusion. He's talking about some hard stuff here. And so Jesus says to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter says, "Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, people, you can imagine Jesus, he came with a mission. He came with a story. He came with a passion. He was telling them about how to have an incredible journey with him and to have eternal life and to have this all in place. And then he starts teaching what actually has to happen, his sacrifice of what's going to take place. And there he starts talking about the emblems that we use for communion, the bread and the wine as the juice being his blood. He starts talking about this and they say, "This is too hard to understand." And you can almost see like Jesus losing all this ground. All these people that were following now have left him. But Peter says, who else has the words of eternal life? "And we believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. Oh, sorry. Different verse. I haven't got there yet. All this teaching, all this hard teaching. But Jesus is trying to get it into their heads. Do you not understand who I am? When Jesus talks about his body being the bread, he talks about his blood being that place that brings life. Why is he referencing this? Why? What's it going to make? What's the difference? What does it mean? Let's go back to the desert when the Israelites were taken out of slavery in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They got taken out and they end up in the desert. And in the desert, they found this place with God and them interacting. But they needed some sort of sustenance. They needed something to keep them alive in the desert. What did God provide for them? What is it? Manna. What was manna? It's like a bread from heaven, wasn't it? Or what is it? Manna means what is it? A bread from heaven. God, in his relationship, took him to the desert and says, I will be your sustenance. I will bring bread from heaven and I will bring life to you. And then we find this, and I'm moving to Numbers, and this is back in the desert, right? Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and again, oh, that we had meat to eat. I don't really blame them. 40 years of bread. Can you blame them? But then they dream of what was. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. That cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. Why is this even in the scripture, hey? And I want to reference this to Jesus. They're in the desert, but they were free. They were with God in the desert, learning a powerful and wonderful relationship. But you know what? They didn't want the sustenance of God through the bread anymore. They wanted to go back to their fish, their cucumbers, their melons, their leeks, their onions and their garlic and be slaves. And the same problem is ours. Our own journey. We can be stuck in a place and we want to go back to how it was before we became Christians because our world changed when we became a Christian. We want to go back to the melons and the cucumbers, the leeks and the onions. Sometimes we want to go back to how it was, but we forget that where we came from, we were slaves. Jesus offers us freedom. But part of that freedom means we find our sustenance in him. Some of us find that place where our beginning journey of Christianity was we're going from A to B, it's going to be exciting. And then God rearranges our journey. And we start to think, I want to go back to my onions and my cucumbers and my leeks and go back to that place. And yet Jesus says, I want to be your sustenance in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of what's going on. Losing ground. No more important passage than we find in Habakkuk. These are the words that many have cried out in their journey. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you do not hear, or cry to you violence and you do not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounds the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. How many have been in that place? I'm going to invite Peter to come forward.
Well, good morning, everyone. I had the privilege last week of attending the Alliance World Fellowship meeting in Thailand. And there at this meeting, there were 56 nations represented of Alliance movements all around our world. If you take the next slide, thanks, you'll see a photo I took of us at worship. Oh, thanks, that's fine. So it was a wonderful occasion to be able to just to sit alongside people from around the world who all share our heritage of being people who are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. But I want to introduce you to this next slide and some people we had the privilege of praying for as a group. And here on the far left is Ari Vidyan. He was the president of the Alliance World Fellowship. And on the far right is the Canadian president, Reverend David Hearn. And the four people in the centre there who are being prayed for are our pastors in Syria. And this person on the left, he's the head of the Alliance Churches of Syria. And he gave an amazing message to us, informing us about what was happening in the country. The couple in the middle are the pastors from Homs. And the man in the at the back there in the white jacket, he's the pastor of the Alliance Church in Aleppo. He had to be smuggled out so he could come. And he had to be smuggled back in. He left his family there. But they're in dangerous situations. We saw videos from Homs, complete and utter devastation. It's just absolutely distressing to watch. Pastor Wood showed us photos from his church. They've had people who have been taken from the church and killed. They've had bombs that have landed around the church. It was heartbreaking to sit there and to watch. But Pastor spoke from this passage in Habakkuk. He said, you know, before the war, we were living life like everybody else. And when the conflict started, we prayed that God would intervene and stop the conflict. It's now entering its sixth year. And evil upon evil upon evil has been occurring. And he said, this passage in Habakkuk that we've just read, they in Syria have been crying out Habakkuk's prayer. Oh God, how long will you not listen? How long does violence occur? How long does evil upon evil take place? Do you not see? Are you blind? And he shared the journey of the church in Syria has gone from not understanding what God is doing to frustration that God isn't doing anything, to despair that can God do anything? And then, as we see, I'm not sure what passage of Habakkuk you've got, but there's a Habakkuk gets to a point where he says, all right, God, we're going to watch. I'm going to watch to see what you will do. And Pastor said, that's where we are at. Will you stand with us, he asks, and watch with us to see what God will do in Syria. We actually had another gentleman who's a pastor in Jordan. He shared as well. There are now many millions of Syrian refugees in Jordan. And this one church of 40 people are reaching out to thousands of Syrian families. In fact, all these organisations, NGOs, are going to the church and saying, how can we fund you to do what you're doing? They now have 35 full-time staff working through the church to reach these Syrian refugees. And he said, our families, our church families, we don't live like we used to live. Our lives now, our days consist of going out and visiting Syrian refugees and listening to their stories. I had the privilege of sitting next to him for an hour on a bus and I just asked him, what do you need? What can we pray for you? And he said, I thought we need money. He doesn't need money. There's plenty of NGOs pouring tens of thousands of dollars into their little church. He says, what we need is Arabic speaking Christians that can go and listen to stories. Because these people want to know about Jesus. These people are asking, they're hungry to hear what it is that we have that they don't. So as that little church meets these needs as our Syrian pastors are having the same conversations and stories with people in Syria. They're watching to see what God will do. And as we watch, we hear the stories of what God has done in the past. We remember them. And as we remember them, it builds trust. When we have trust, it builds joy. Can we go to the next, I can do it. The next slide. Maybe I can't do it. There we go. The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. So as the pastor finished his sermon, he said, we are in a place where we are looking forward to that joy. Right now, we don't experience it, but in our hearts, we know it is to come, and that sustains us to continue to minister here and to stay. We then prayed for them. And I'd encourage you to keep praying for them. The one thing that came out of that meeting, as I went back to my room and got on my bed, I couldn't pray for myself that night. You know how often I just felt so selfish that I would be praying for my needs in this country and not praying for them. Please don't forget to pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria.
So we've been talking about losing ground, and JB has shared what happens when you think you know where you're going and life takes a serious detour and you end up in a place where you are desperate and you're crying out for God. And we've just heard Peter talk about the people who are living in persecuted countries. And now I want to make this real for you. Have you ever been to a place where there's an incredible banquet and there is so much food and your mouth is just salivating? Have you ever been to a place like that? And you've almost got to stand back and go, where do I begin? Like, this is just so good. We went to an all-you-can-eat place. What's it called? The Burns Club or something. Yeah, that's the one. There's a ripple effect. And you know the deal where you don't eat because you know there's going to be so much good food that you can pick and choose. All right, well, I want you to imagine that you're at the Burns Club or somewhere equally, you know, lavish with so much good food. And you go to get your food and you get your food and you have been at a barbecue, right? And there's so much amazing food. And then you get this little wobbly paper plate. Really? Like, what is that? Because there's so much good food and you put it on your lap because there's no table and you start cutting and this little plastic knife just doesn't do it any justice. And the next thing you know, your steak's trying to fly off your plate. You've got beetroot on your lap and it's just a mess. Is that just me or have other people been there? I'm glad other people have been there because I seem to do that on a regular basis. And I really do not like paper plates. I mean, they're great to throw away, but if you want a good meal, I want the real deal. I actually want to have a good plate and real knives and forks. I want to know that my foundation is strong. I want to know that whatever I'm going to eat off is totally grounded. And here's where it comes to us. We live in a society where we want the banquet all the time. And we get so picky. Oh, has that got coriander on it? Oh, no, I can't do coriander. Oh, is that curry? Oh, no, can't do curry. And we become so picky about what we're going to eat, and we want everything to look amazing, smell amazing, taste amazing, and have it all. And we sometimes don't realize that we've got a paper plate. That we've become so materialistic and it's all about the food rather than what our foundation is. I want to tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity, I would rather have a simple meal. There's a verse in Proverbs. It talks about that. I would rather have a simple meal on a stable plate in good company in the presence of Jesus than to have a banquet on a paper plate that's not strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We get so caught up in the trimmings of life and how we want things to be, and sometimes we're not grounded in our foundations. The truth is, sometimes we need to look past the trimmings and look past the banquet and go, what am I really eating off? Does it look amazing, but I can't even get it in my mouth because my paper plate's not holding it? Or is it simple and it's strong and it's good and it's nourishing and I've got a stable plate? As Christians, we need to make sure that we are not like the Israelites going, I want my fish and my leeks and my melons and my garlic and my onions, but be a slave to materialism and work and professions and society and culture. We actually need to be prepared to have a simple meal off a stable plate and have freedom in Jesus Christ.
Habakkuk comes with these words. He says these words, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Jesus asks us to be his disciples, to follow him no matter what. And we might have an understanding that our journey is to go this way, and Jesus might and will take you on his way. And for many of us, it's going to be a tough, tough journey. He asks us to eat from him, to be sustained by him. You might feel like it's losing ground. You might feel like it's going backwards to the way you thought it was. And yet he is taking you on a journey. Some people say to me, Ben, we're not going deep. We're not going deep into some of the scriptures. I don't think you understand what deep really means. Deep means when you're in that place where you lose someone. Deep means when you've lost something of significance, when you've had massive pain, when you've been in that place where you are just trying to hang on. Deep is that place where you're just hanging on to God in the depth of your pain and saying, no matter what, God is good and Jesus loves me, and that's all you can hang on to. That's deep. That's deep. And that will bring you to a place where you are just hanging on to him. God took him into the desert with nothing else around them and sustained them and brought them life. Jesus brought his disciples to understand who he was. He is the fulfillment of the sustenance, the bread of life. His blood poured out for you and I, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we will be set free from slavery. It's often not a pretty picture, but it's a wonderful picture in the presence of God. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation, no matter what comes at me. Can I get the worship team? I'll get the prayer team, guys, if you're happy. Some of you in your journey of life might be in that place that things have swung around radically and you would like some prayer. You're feeling like you're in the desert and you want to go back to the lemons or the melons and the leeks and the garlic, and you're feeling very dry and parched. Please feel free to come out for prayer. We love to pray with you and ask for God to sustain you through the midst of whatever you're going through.